be lifted high in honor. And the part of the verse that we're going to be looking at today is they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Another translation says they dispersed their gifts, their treasures to the poor, the needy. When I was looking this up, some of these verses is just very clear, but this one just expounded. I mean, there was so much, I couldn't do all three parts in 1 week. So this part says freely scattered or dispersed. The idea here is a frequent and customary action. So this isn't just a one-time thing where the Lord blesses you and you have enough and you give one time. Somebody say, no way. No. When you are a blessed person, when you fear the Lord and you delight in His commands, He's going to so bless you that it's going to be frequent and customary action. You know what that means? That means it's going to happen all the time. You're going to have so much excess, it's going to happen all the time. You're giving gifts. How many people would like to be known as the gift giver? When you go to family events, they say, oh, the gift giver just walked in. When you go to work, they go, oh, man, that lady that gives gifts is here. When you go to the grocery store or the restaurant, ooh, that's that guy who's always giving gifts. That's what we should be living in. That's what we should be walking in when we delight in the Lord and we fear Him, or delight in His commands and fear Him. It says in this verse, in this part, it also says open-handed distribution of wealth. He divides it with the needy, the unfortunate. It's an overplus. How many of you say overplus? Don't you love that word? Overplus. You're not just over, but you're over plus some more. I don't know if this is about anybody else, but this got me excited. This is not just talking about living from paycheck to paycheck. This is talking about having so much stored up that you can give all the time. And you're meeting the needs. It's an overplus that's designed to meet the needs of the weak, the unfortunate, the aged, the infirm, and those who have not. That's a big category. That's a huge category. And guess who the Lord has called to do that? Point to yourself. Me. The Lord has called us to be a part of this. Another commentary said that the dispersal is a saved up, a reservoir that is considered the treasury of God. It's a reservoir gathered to be distributed to those in need. So when you have extra, this isn't just your extra. Are you listening today? This is a treasury that is the Lord's reserve that He's placed in your hands. Whew! I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. Because when God's in on something, then it doesn't just go a little ways, right? We can pray over our gifts, and God can multiply. Somebody say multiply. So that our gift keeps on going. It says they freely scatter their gifts to the poor. Another commentary said it this way: the righteous man is one who enters fully into this arrangement, who feels his surplus belongs to God, and it will be given out as God directs. That's powerful. That's powerful. So God is wanting us to distribute the extras that He gives us to the places He tells us to give. That's why I don't believe it is not a coincidence today that this need has arisen. I know a lot of you have probably already written your tithes and offerings check, and you know that I'm not a person who stands up in front of you and asks you to give because I want you to move your heart. We already have resources. But if the Lord has put it on your heart today, go home and pray this week. We can give. They're going to need help for a while. But I want you to pray and ask the Lord, do you have surplus? You may be like, well, it's only $20, Shelley. It's God's $20. He can take that 20. We saw Him take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000 men, children, and wives beyond. Don't tell me God can't take your $20 and make that go beyond. Well, how can He do that? How did He do the 5 loaves and 2 fish? I don't know that either, but he did it. So he will take whatever gift that the Lord is telling you to give. You want to be someone who doesn't hold back. Well, I might need that. No. My God shall supply all your needs. So you just listen and you be faithful when he tells you to give. Amen? Well, how do I know if he's talking to me? You'll know, because you'll be going through your week and this will come up in your mind again. And you'll be getting ready for bed and brushing your teeth and this will come up again. And you'll be driving your car down the road and there'll be that yearning again. And that's how you know. The Holy Spirit, when he wants you to do something, he just keeps knocking. Hello? Hello? Are you listening? Hello? Hello? He just keeps on and on. Amen? But don't make him keep knocking. Just answer the door the first time and say, yes, sir. Amen? Because what happens when you freely give? Then you freely receive. That's the way he works. Pressed down, shaking, and running over. It'll keep coming back to you. We've seen that even in our church. In June, we gave our biggest missions offering ever. And the very same day, every cent of that $10,000 was back in our account for missions. You guys, when you listen to the Lord and you do what he tells you to do, he always provides. Amen? And it's not normally just what you put in. This has been a record year for our missions. People, record for missions. What God has brought in through all of you. So I know that when you are faithful to listen to what he's asked, he will be faithful to you. Amen? I want to be one of those people that freely disperses, freely scatters. And it's not just like a person that's out there just randomly tossing, right? We're sowers. Amen? So God's going to tell us, scatter some over here. All right? Scatter some over here. All right? Scatter some way over there. Amen? And when we're faithful, God will cause that to multiply and meet beyond anything that we could imagine. So your seed can't be too small or too great. He'll take every seed you give him, and he will bless it. Amen? So do you want to be givers today? Do you want to be considered people that when they look at you, they say, there's a gift giver? Amen? I was thinking about this. It's such a transformation for pastors to go from being feeling like we're always the needy to the ones who actually get to give. That's a mind change. And sometimes you've been in that place of having to have people give to you so much that you stop seeing yourself as a giver. So you have to actually change your thinking to, wait a minute, no, I'm going to be a giver as well as someone who's given to. Amen? Because God will flow through anybody. He's just looking for vessels. But we don't want to stop the flow by our mentality that, no, someone needs to give to me. No, you need to give. Amen? And God will be faithful. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much for this powerful word in Psalm. We thank you, Father, that we are people who fear you, we reverence you, we respect you, we put you number one. And we know, Father, that the most important place for you to be number one is in our finances. You need to be Lord of our money. And Father, we know that as we make you Lord of our money by bringing our tithes and our offerings, Father, that you will bless everything that we have. You will bless the 90. And it will go farther than we ever imagined. And Father, I pray today that as we move forward from this point forward, that we would stop seeing ourselves as the ones with the hands out to receive the little gifts. And we would start seeing ourselves with the gifts in our hands, giving those. The picture you gave me this week, Lord, was a picture of a person just literally throwing gold, throwing treasures to people, and their lives being touched for eternity. Let us see ourselves as that. Let us see ourselves as the ones who can't wait. When we hear of a need and you put it on our heart to act, that we can't write that check fast enough, we can't bring that money in quick enough, Father, because our hearts will be so excited to give. I just pray, Father, that you would touch every person in this room. We have amazing givers in this church, Father. But I believe you're taking us to the next level of being gift givers. Not just givers, but gift givers. Gifts aren't always a need. Gifts are often just an extra, a blessing. Help us to see ourselves as giving the extra, the blessing, the overflow, the over plus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Stretch your hands out toward the giving nets, and let's make a declaration of faith to say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my finances. Harvesting angels, go. I call in my harvest from the north, south, east, and west. I receive raises, bonuses, inheritances, sales and commissions, businesses, ministries, automobiles, education, jobs and training, the blessing of God in every area of my life. But first and foremost, Father, may the gospel be preached around the world that people would know Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your faithful giving. It's just, you know, like Shelley said, it's about the heart. Amen. And God can take what you sow and just stretch it and multiply it. And you'd be surprised. I mean, like with this thing in Kentucky, when I did, Mom and I actually went on a trip to Hurricane Katrina relief, and just a couple cases of water is like hallelujah to some people right now, you know? So it all counts. Hallelujah. Keep those prayers going. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Shelley. Hallelujah. And I think we can dismiss the kids now, unless there's anything else at this point. Okay. Praise God. Merry Christmas, kids. Merry Christmas. Last night, I watched that Claymation Little Drummer Boy show movie. Some of these old movies from my childhood, nobody else watched it with me, but I threw it in there. I think we're good, Lacey. Thank you. Amen. Well, let's pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word to us today. We give you the praise and the glory, God. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Somebody say, happy birthday, Jesus. Now, I know it's not his actual birthday, all right, but it is the time of year that it is honored. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we're going to get into kind of the third part of this three-part message entitled, His Glorious Appearing. Everybody say, His Glorious Appearing. And isn't that what Christmas is all about? The time that we celebrate and remember that he came, right? That he showed up. Amen. The glory of God appeared. We sang about him this morning in a manger. Hallelujah. And he came to shut the devil's work down, didn't he? And see God's kingdom built on the planet and to... Priority one, really, was to fix the sin problem. Amen? Because sin on the earth is what brought death to the earth, what brought tornadoes and earthquakes and, you know, terrorism and all the, you know, immorality and you name it, all the bad stuff that the devil is trying to do on the planet through people, right? Jesus came to shut down the devil's work, right? Amen. And to help us live for God every day. Hallelujah forevermore. That's why the word says he's the Savior. Amen. That's why his name is Jesus, the Savior. Right? Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Hallelujah. Well, some of the issues happen when people don't think they need saving. Well, I never did nothing all that bad. I don't need saving. That's why when the rapture of the church happens and millions of people vanish from the earth, there's going to be some confusion. Because there'll be some people on death row that vanish, and there'll be Dr. So-and-so or Bishop So-and-so still in their pulpit because they weren't saved. But the brother on death row was saved. Amen? So it's not about how good you were or how bad you weren't. It's about, have I received Jesus Christ as Lord of my life? Somebody say, I have. I have. I was listening to Keith Moore's message on Sunday morning from his previous week, and he was talking about heaven and how heaven is wonderful, right? And how there's three levels of heaven. There's the heavens, like, you know, the sky. The Bible talks about three levels of heaven. Then there's space, which is the second heaven. And then there's the third heaven, which is above space, which is where God is, where heaven is. Amen? And then there's this place called hell. And he was talking about, isn't it interesting how science has even shown that the core of the earth is hot? And Jesus said, you know, when he died, that he went into the belly of the earth, right? So all these things, the physical things, and are a reflection of the truth, the eternal spiritual truths, right? So somebody say, there's a hell to avoid and a heaven to gain. Praise God. And that ought to be motivation enough for anybody to get saved, right? You know, I remember in, I don't know what it was, some business class or maybe it was physical education back in high school. And they said, most people are motivated either by pleasure or pain. So heaven is wonderful. Let's go there. Hell is awful. Let's don't go there. Right? And so we make our choice, right? Amen? And I can't choose for you, and you can't choose for me, right? It's a personal decision. Somebody just say, Lord, I receive you as my Savior today. Amen? That's why we're here, isn't it? To honor Jesus, to celebrate his birth, to remember he's coming back. The title of this message, His Glorious Appearing, is to remind us. Well, it sounds like, I've shared the past couple weeks, it almost sounds like we're saying His glory is appearing. Somebody say, His glory is appearing. And I'm telling you, be looking throughout your life for His glory to appear just on a daily basis. And not just talking about, now today we're going to talk about, I mean, angels, boom, I mean the glory, right? But it's not always just about an angel appearing, right? Now, hallelujah for angels. Angels are involved all the time in our lives. But God is really more interested in us learning, seeing something in His Word. If you see something in God's Word and it ministers to you and it brings light and revelation, that's the glory of God appearing to you. Amen? Just things like that. But our foundation text is Titus 2:13, and it says this. We're going to read 11 through 14, actually. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Now, there's that word salvation. That is, you know, a saving word, right? That means you got saved. It means there was something for that I needed to be saved from. Sin, death, Satan, hell, all these things, right? Amen. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared, somebody say appeared, to all men, right? So even though he was first, the Bible says first the Jew, then the Gentile, right? So he came first to Israel, but then he's inviting the entire world to come and be saved, right? Amen? And it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, and just that word denying, whose responsibility is it for me to deny ungodly lusts or ungodliness and worldly lusts? Whose responsibility is it for me? to deny that? Is it God's responsibility? Your responsibility? No. Somebody say, it's my responsibility. See, the Bible helps us to understand what's my responsibility. Jesus came in, when he was crucified, sin and death was crucified. But I have a responsibility to deny the things of the world for myself. Amen? And again, as the Lord has shown us, not in order that I should be saved, right? I don't deny ungodliness and worldly lusts in order to save myself. No, it's because I'm saved that I deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Hallelujah. Now that is a huge difference. Because if I'm doing things or not doing things in order to be saved, then I'm trying to save myself. And that's what many, many other religions teach. Is, you got some problems, but forget about it. One of them, I've seen bumper stickers. Forget that stuff. Well, Jesus, praise God, with Jesus, you can forget that stuff. But without him, don't forget that stuff yet. Because that stuff is separating me from God, okay? So Jesus, a lot of other religions don't deal with sin. They don't. They won't call it sin. Whatever, you know, they'll call it bad karma, so, right? Jesus came and dealt with sin. Just call sin what it is, sin, right? And he helps me to be victorious over it through his victory, amen? So teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, amen, righteously, and godly in this present age. And again, that's not in order to save myself. That's because I'm saved. Amen? When I get saved, I know Jesus. I spend time in his word. I worship him. I'm going to be changing more and more, glory to glory, faith to faith, more and more into his likeness. But how many know even the most saintly saint on the planet, compared to God, no, not even close, right? So we do it by faith in Jesus. We serve him. We do right things. We live soberly, righteously, and godly because, somebody say, because I love him. Because I love him. I'm in church today because I love God. I love his family. I love being around other Christians, but I love Jesus. And birds of a feather flock together. Amen, right? So it's a love thing, isn't it? And then verse 13, this is our key verse, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing. Say glorious appearing. Amen. Of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. There's that word us again. Every time, a lot of times right now when I see the word us, I think U.S. He gave himself for the U.S. Glory to God. That he might redeem the U.S., us, from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Amen. This is good news, isn't it? Somebody say, his glory is appearing. His glory is appearing. And glorious means things like very apparent. Amen? It means words like honor, praise, worship. Amen? We're people of praise and worship and thanksgiving toward God, honoring God. We come to church to honor God. We give praises to honor God, right? And it should be very apparent to the rest of the world that there's a difference between us and the world. Amen? There's kind of a lie in the world right now that we all should just come together and just be on the same team, and we can to an extent, right? But spiritually, you're just different. You're born again, and others are not. You're on your way up, others are on their way down. I mean, there's not really a nice way to say that. There's departures and arrivals happening every day, right? People by the thousands either entering into eternity, either going to heaven or going to hell. And there's not a laundry list of things that decides that. It's one thing. Is Jesus Lord of their life? If yes, heaven. If no, hell. That's just the reality of it. I didn't make that up. That's Bible. Amen? And I mean, I'm in kind of a business networking group right now. And a couple of the folks in there, you know, for our company that we have, and a couple of the folks in there, you can tell are just, and they know I'm a pastor. They know what else I do. It just comes out, right? And this one person was talking about her Zen things and all that kind of stuff, and yet she didn't want to hear what I'm about, but she wanted me to know what she's about. So, okay, come on, right? Somebody say, don't be ashamed. You don't have to cover the light, cover the lamp. No, let the lamp shine, man. I mean, look out, look at television, look at Hollywood, they're letting their darkness just out in the open. That's why I love hearing from time to time about even Hollywood. Like Matthew McConaughey, I heard recently, is a believer. Now, I wouldn't watch most of his movies. Denzel Washington, believer. But I wouldn't watch most of his movies. A lot of cussing, and I don't care for that. But it's cool when you hear about even people in Hollywood coming out of the closet with their faith. Amen. Somebody say, let your light shine. Amen. It should be very apparent that you're a believer. You're a Christian. How does somebody tell? Well, what comes out of my mouth? Am I drinking with them? Right? I was out at dinner the other night. Several people drinking. I had a Coke. Somebody asked a little question around the table, the icebreaker question. What's on your bucket list? Got to me, I'm like, well, been married for 20 years, got 4 kids, I'm happy. But I'd like to build a church. And I said this, and I'd also like to stay out of the bucket. That's what I said. Somebody say, just come out with it, all right? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But the word appearing means terms like a manifestation, the advent of Christ, past or future. It's in your notes here. Brightness. We're going to talk today about the brightness. Somebody say brightness. Hallelujah. But that word advent, I looked that up, and it means a coming into place, a coming into view, a coming into being, or the word arrival. Somebody say, the glory is on the way. The glory is coming. And we could even step out and say, the glory is here. Hallelujah. It's here, but it's going to get brighter. Amen? Some people would say, even in places of leadership, you think it's dark now, we're going to ratchet down a notch. I love, you know, it's almost comical. I'm sorry, but a lot of, not millions, but there's a few leaders that just, you know, something terrible happens and they blame the public for it, right? Some shooting happens, it's because you have those guns in your house. Excuse me? Some psycho demon-possessed guy got a hold of a gun and it's the public's fault, right? All you, we told you to leave Afghanistan, but you didn't listen. COVID is your fault. Oh, what? I mean, this is darkness. These are lies. These are a lot of, some of these leaders are like parents that are abusive, that go out and drink and party and do drugs and carouse all night and come home and beat their kids and blame them. That's exactly the kind of spirit that's on a lot of these leaders. So what do we do as believers? We pray, we vote, we learn what the Bible says, we do it. We get involved as God would lead, support those who are involved, that are bringing light, and keep believing. Somebody say, main thing, stay in faith on it. Stay in faith, right? Keep believing God. Things are getting better. Things are getting better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a coming into place in our lives, right? There's a coming into view, a coming into being, an arrival of the glory in each one of our lives individually that we need to be watching for and preparing for and believing for, whatever that means to you. Amen? Because my dad, my Heavenly Father, is big enough to fix the world and bring me golden retrievers. Hallelujah, 2 golden retrievers. He loves us that much. He's big enough to fix the economy and fix my bank account. Hallelujah, right? He's big enough to heal, you know, someone of some serious disease or fix what's going on in Kentucky and bring me a new automobile. Hallelujah. Brother Copeland sent out a calendar this past week, their ministry did, and they're featuring different churches every month. It's so cool. I just love churches, right? And the first one, you should Google Joseph Prince, Singapore, and look at that church. I mean, it was like, wow, glorious. A glorious church. And there's a lot of other church, kind of country churches. There's all different kinds of churches that God is all about. Amen? But somebody say, the glory's coming. When it feels like the darkness is trying to take over, the worry, the stress, the strife, just start saying, ah, the glory's coming. The glory is coming. And his name is Jesus, right? There's another verse that I mentioned last week, Hosea 6:3. I've been reading through Hosea this past couple weeks. Or a few days, actually. And it says, let us press on to know the Lord. His appearance is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us. And there again was the word us. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. His appearance is as sure as the dawn. What do you believe in God for? Well, guess what? His appearance is as sure as the dawn. Whatever it is you're believing him for. Hallelujah. Isaiah 7 verse 14 says this. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear you a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Somebody say, God with us. Hey, guess what? There's that word us again. God with the U.S. Mainly, maybe we should say, U.S. be with God. Hallelujah. There's a lot of our leaders in this country that love God, that love true justice, that love the truth about our history, that love the truth about, you know, free enterprise and open churches and not shutting everything down and all this kind of stuff and, you know, abusing the public. Amen. Glory to God. This is good news. And we pray and we just believe God accordingly, right? But Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, this is what we want to look at today. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Glory to God forevermore. And when you think about like a really dark room, if there's just like a pin of light, do you notice it? Somebody say, yeah, right? Amen. So all we got to do is shine for Jesus, right? Just keep preaching his word, keep living for him, and he is shining out through you. But I want to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20 today. If you have your Bible, that's where we'll open to. We said all that to get to this. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Actually, I'll back it up to verse 6. So it was, while they were there, I was reading some commentary about Joseph and Mary last night, and one of the things that was interesting, the person that I was reading said, you know, Joseph might have been, I'll paraphrase what he said, but he said, Joseph might have been pretty cool with having to go, you know, leave town and go somewhere for the census, because there was about to be a scandal about him and Mary, right? So he used this particular verse when it said, while they were there. So he was referencing, you know, they might have left a little early and got there, you know, just to get out of, you know, the heat of what people were going to say about this pregnancy, right? While they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, capital S, like Superman, right? Capital S. And wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Everybody say there was no room. It didn't say Joseph had no money. How many believe Jesus was a poor? I am a poor boy too. Ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. No, these weren't poor folk. Joseph was a businessman. They traveled for the census, right? He's a carpenter. Hallelujah. He wasn't sitting around waiting for food stamps, right? No, there was no room at the Hilton, right? So they had to, you know, make some adjustments. Glory to God. Probably because the census was happening, right? Everyone, there was no vacancy. Amen. Sometimes we just gotta put aside religious traditions. I saw a commercial the other day, and it said something like, Jesus understands ends not meeting to. What? Jesus was not poor. Now, compared to what he had in heaven, oh yeah, right? For that 3 days, he lost everything when they crucified him. Why would you gamble for a pauper's robe? Amen. He had nice stuff, right? Why would you need Judas to keep track of 3 quarters? No, they were a big ministry. They gave to the poor. They were moving, always on the go. He supported a ministry team. Oh, man. Glory to God. We're not reading about the wise men today, but when they brought treasures, it was not a little box of gold, a little box of a little essential oils container of frankincense and myrrh, right? No, we're talking multiple camel loads. And it doesn't say there were 3 wise men. It says there were 3 gifts. There could have been multiple wise men, each one bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that could have been what funded his ministry. And you know what I'm saying? So to think, I am a poor boy too. No, Jesus can't relate to that. Right? And he wants to bring us up to his level, doesn't he? This little bonus there, little bonus track. Hallelujah. In verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, it's important to remember these shepherds living out in the field, they were raising sheep for sacrifice, right? They were temple shepherds. This isn't just random, you know, shepherds out in the field watching some farmer's sheep. No, these were temple shepherds raising sheep for sacrifice. And who was about to be born? The Lamb of God. Right? All these things are significant. And behold, I just try to see what maybe they saw. They're out there doing their thing. It's late at night, fire going. They're looking up at the stars, watching the sheep, whatever. And all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And obviously, now this is good to remember here. Obviously, they knew something. There's something different about this being that we're staring at. He doesn't look like one of us. Somebody say the glory makes things different, changes things, right? And there you go. And the glory, somebody say the glory. The glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Somebody say they saw something. And not just one guy. They all saw something. They saw the glory of God surrounding them, right? And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Somebody say hallelujah, right? "For there is born to you," see, born, there's an appearing word. Hallelujah. I was thinking the other day about each one of my children. I've had four kids. Well, Shelly has had four kids. I helped in some ways, right? But each one of them, their birth was completely unique. Their appearing. Each one had their own special entrance. Lacey, miracle baby. Shouldn't have lived. Couldn't breathe. No oxygen. Shelly had toxemia. Her health was at risk. It was a premature situation. She was born weeks ahead of time, and God literally saved her life. It was a miracle. I mean, they were doing CPR on a newborn baby. Hallelujah. And she didn't breathe on her own, like, for 10 minutes. But God was there. That song, "My Deliverer Is Coming," that just kept coming to me that night, and I didn't know why. Oh boy, did our deliverer show up. Amen. Lindsay was the only one that was born as I'd always imagined it would happen. "Honey, it's time." "Okay, get the suitcase in the car. The neighbor's coming over to be with Lacey, little Lacey. And we're driving to the hospital in the middle of the night." And man, we got there and she was born probably 2 hours later, man. Just woo! Lane, we made an appointment. We made an appointment. She was, you know, whatever they do to stimulate the labor, induced, I think they call it. We were watching football in the hospital, and he was born naturally that way, right? Luke decided he didn't want to come out. He just wanted to stay put, right? He liked it's warm and, you know, everything. And finally, the doctor came in. It was God just had to grace me with some of these nurses that night because they were weird. There was one nurse that was treating me and the doctor like we were male chauvinists. like "Shelly, what do you want to do?" Well, and she's listening. I mean, she is. We need to get things moving here, right? And I'm just trying to help. I'm not trying to be a jerk about stuff, but we need to keep things moving. And I'm kind of going, getting her ice to chew on and checking in with nurses. Some of these nurses were just goofy. And then that same nurse, right in the middle of labor, her shift ended and she disappeared, man. I forgive her, Lord. And the doctor finally came in and he goes, "You know, maybe we should do a C-section here." And I'm like, "You think? You think so?" And we talked to Shelly about it and we came to an agreement and there was a quick surgery done. And out Luke came. And I held him in my arms. I held all of them. It was just a glorious, but their appearing, each one was unique. And they're all wonderful kids and growing into young adults now. Hallelujah, right? But Jesus is appearing. I mean, there's no biological father involved. But Joseph was there. Amen? And just the glory of God surrounding that day. Amen? Then the angel said to them, verse 10, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Glory to God forevermore. It wasn't an accident or coincidence that he was born in Bethlehem, in the city of David. Amen? "This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel, so to this point, it sounds like bright light, one angel. And they're probably just like, you know, they've heard prophecies about Messiah coming, Messiah coming, Messiah coming, right? And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Now, I tried to do some research on what that word multitude means. I couldn't really find a number. It's just a lot. One guy said, just imagine if there's one guardian angel per human being on the planet, that's like billions of angels. And there's more than that, right? Amen. So there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Somebody say praising God, right? Out here on the hillside with the shepherds, right? And saying, glory. Somebody say glory, right? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. So it was when the angel had gone away from them, or the angels had gone away from them into heaven, right? Probably it was good to notice which direction they went. They went up. Okay, that's a good thing. Right? That the shepherds said to one another, let us, I love this, let us now, somebody say now, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. That's called the glory. If the Lord makes known something to you, whether it's by this type of experience or seeing something in His Word or hearing something on a CD or a broadcast or the Holy Ghost just speaks something into your heart, we ought to just say, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But I love the shepherds here. Let us go now. Don't you know God appreciates people that come to Jesus now, the second they hear about it? And I kind of joked a little bit about the difference between the shepherds and the wise men, right? Praise God for the wise men. But they had to think about it, right? Well, the stars seem to say, and let's talk to Herod, and let's... They had to do some research. The shepherds, let's go now. That's all we need to know. Glory to God forevermore. For people that respond now. Somebody say, that's me. I'm a now Christian. I'm a first responder. Amen. Glory to God. Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, man. They put the pedal to the metal, man. And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, they must have known where to go. They probably weren't going house to house. Like I said, I've heard it taught in Messianic teaching that there was actually a temple. These were temple shepherds, right? And when they went to the manger, right? That was an area where they actually raised the sheep and all this kind of stuff for sacrifice, for Passover and all. Not a coincidence. The Lamb of God was born there. Amen? And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known. I mean, these guys were not going to shut up, right? They made known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard of it were marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Hallelujah. Why don't we all just take a moment and stand up on our feet as we close today? And just lift our hands and thank God for His glorious presence. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your glorious appearing. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's anybody listening, maybe later, I believe everybody in this room is born again, but maybe this is the first time or the 40th time or the 400th time you've heard such a message. and the light is turning on, the glory is coming, and you're saying, you know what, I need to respond now and come to Jesus now. Well, the way we do it now is by prayer. Just come to Him in prayer. Just say this out loud, everybody. Just say, Father God, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for me, raising to life 3 days later. I receive you. I receive my forgiveness and cleansing of all sin, and I will live for you every day of my life. And I thank you, Lord. And I'll walk praising you and making widely known my faith in you forever and ever. Hallelujah. And I believe the Lord would remind us that it's not just a lot of the things that we do and say that make Him widely known, but it's also things that we don't do and that we don't say. And I believe the Holy Ghost is going to help each one of us to know what that is for our own lives. There might be some things, church, that we just need to stop doing. Some things we might need to stop saying because we're born again. Because Jesus is Lord of our lives. Somebody just say, Lord, help me to hear you and follow you every day. Be just like the shepherds to respond quickly to your voice. In Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for the angels of God that surround us every day to protect us. Those ministering spirits, oh God, we loose them now to cover, to protect. We release breakthroughs and the glory of God to manifest in your life in whatever area you're believing, financially, health, peace of God in your home, businesses, breakthroughs. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for the glory of God. We thank you, Lord, for the glory of God coming against COVID in the name of Jesus and shutting that down and driving it out. We thank you, Lord, for the glory of God manifesting in our nation, raising up righteous leaders and removing those who refuse to be so. And we give you the praise for all these things, Father. For building a church right here in Vancouver, Lord, that ministers to your people and reaches the world with the gospel. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name. I believe somebody's receiving healing this morning in your body. Receiving deliverance from strife, from depression, from worries and cares and fears. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that washes those things away and replaces it with the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.